This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith, with Ronnie Howard, also starring Don Knotts.
There we go, taking you back to the fishing hole, the opening credits of the very familiar program, The Andy Griffith Show. And, of course, you know Mayberry, the idyllic town that was his home, the hometown in that show, a fictional place. However, a new film highlights the characters of the true Mayberry, Mount Airy, North Carolina, the hometown of Andy Griffith and the basis of the fictional Mayberry. The film, The Real Mayberry, captures the characters and places that make Mount Airy a representation of hometown USA. Joining me now is filmmaker Bill Hayes. He's the founder of Figure Eight Films and the maker of this film. Welcome back, Bill. Good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. You love it. Doesn't that whistle just, you know, warm you up?
Did you ever hear Andy Griffith singing the lyrics to that song?
I did not.
The Fishing Hole. And
I have actually.
He wanted to sing it, and it's probably one of the only things they didn't let him do on that show.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, you grew up near Mount Airy, right?
I did, next to a fishing hole.
There you go, the fishing hole. So what made you decide to do this film?
I'm on the board for the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival, and I was sitting there one day, and my company, Figure Eight Films, has made a lot of commercial television shows. And I thought, you know, I should make another documentary. That'd be a lot of fun. So I started thinking about it, and then I started thinking about my hometown. And I thought, you know, it's very similar to the fictitious town, and yet it's very different. I thought 50 years later, it would be an interesting story to tell. And so I dug in to try to tell the story.
Well, interesting in a lot of ways. I mean, the Mayberry of the Andy Griffith Show is different from hometown USA today. But today's Mount Airy is very similar to hometown USA in the way that they have suffered so much economically now, these little towns.
It's amazing. It's 10,000 people roughly lost their jobs in about a 10-year period. And Mount Airy in the city limits is only about 10,000 people. So when I started thinking about, you know, Mount Airy as a film, I thought, well, there's some rich material. Yeah. And when you drive down Main Street in Mount Airy, it does not look like a town that lost 10,000 jobs. It is remarkably well. I mean, it's as busy in days as Chapel Hill is.
Now, you could have told a kind of story of economic decline, of, you know, jobs going abroad, et cetera, but you really made this a character-driven film. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, when I started, I wanted to make a web-based docuseries, and my team told me I was crazy, and let's back off and try to make a documentary and do something. And we still have a website called therealmayberry.com, and we do want to curate short stories, more stories from not only Mount Airy but other places. But I started thinking about the structure of the Andy Griffith Show when I was thinking about what am I going to do here with this film. And I thought, well, what does the Andy Griffith Show do? Well, it's non-judgmental. It has some humor without making fun of people. And there's a bit of a moral to the story. So I thought, well, that's pretty good structure. If I can do that, let's take that and try to mimic as much as we can a documentary that sort of mimics the fictional show. Since we're going to juxtapose the real-life town with a fictional town, why not structurally as a film do some things as well?
And to some extent, you found a kind of an Andy character in the person of Gene Reese, am I right?
Well, I knew Gene growing up, and so I knew, it's a real story. He is such a kind, easygoing, unflappable kind of guy. And, you know, and we had a barber who was Russell Hyatt, who was Floyd the barber, and we found a rock stacking guy instead of a rock throwing guy, Ernest T. Bass, who went to Duke, I think.
Wow.
I heard that Ernest T. Bass went to Duke.
Ernest T. Bass. Who's Ernest T. Bass? Wait a minute. Who's the guy?
He was the guy who always had the rock in his hand, and he was always throwing the rocks.
All right. That's right. So, well, let's talk about Gene Reese. Let's hear from him in your film.
We're one of the few stores left in the country. We still have about 10,000 charge accounts. We typically don't have any interest on our charge accounts. Our customers can buy a lot of clothes at one time and pay over a long period of time. They can buy $1,000 worth and pay $100 a month, $10 a month, or pay nothing if they buy clothes going to college and pay nothing for 4 years and then come back. And we've had very few people over the years not to pay us, and it's made with some very loyal customers. And I will tell you, folks who were able to buy their clothes in that manner when they were young remember it when they get older.
And they did get older, and so did Gene Reese. Turns out you can make a living, a Mount Airy businessman. He's talking in the film Real Mayberry, and I'm talking with filmmaker Bill Hayes. And, of course, you're talking about a time which is still possible. You can make money by not making money on interest, but if you had shareholders, of course, well, that doesn't work anymore. So one of the things that's changed is the way every bit of, including the small-town general store, has become, you know, a publicly traded business. But you say, as you say, you knew this guy growing up. What does it do to you as a filmmaker to go back to a friend when you're trying to make a film that's going to have to resonate with everybody and fit him into a piece like this?
Well, you know, it's not dissimilar to what I've been doing for almost 30 years. In 1992, we created a TV series called The Operation, and we had our patients and the doctors screen the show before we actually put it on the air. And so we developed this habit a long time ago of sharing the story with our subjects. So it's not dissimilar to that. I feel like that's sort of an honorable way to go about storytelling, is it's their story, not our story. And it was a struggle for me to be the narrator in this because I've always gone with this approach that it's not my story. Yeah. So this is the first time that it was that personal, that I am part of the story.
Well, and part of the story, too. I mean, the economic struggles of the area is a kind of subtext in the entire film. And it's interesting because what Gene tells us is about the local eco-structure, right? I mean, in many ways, we talk about buying local. Well, that's what you did back then. That was not a hipster theme. That's how people lived. On the other hand, there was this global economic, like it or not, very important leg to support the economy, and that was textiles in that area, right?
It was. So, you know, it started out innocently enough as just, let's do a story about Andy's hometown. And then as I got into the storytelling and brought Robert Newton, who was actually on your show Once Upon a Time, and to help me with the script and other people, we said, you know, how do we create a story that will resonate with other people all over America? And we thought, well, this resonates with everybody. Small towns are an endangered species, and they shouldn't be because there's great utility and value in our small towns across America. And then we thought, well, what are the solutions? It's easy enough to identify the problems, but what about some solutions for a change? So I started looking around at why was Mount Airy as healthy as it is, and we started identifying some of those potential solutions.
Talk about the textile industry and how important it was to Mount Airy.
Well, it wasn't everything because we were also a big farming community as well, but it was a big thing. It was, you know, most of the people worked in the factories there. Spencer's, which is in our story, they employed over 2,000 people, two blocks from Main Street. I mean, that's incredible for a town that size.
You spoke with your nephew's wife, Debbie, about the effects of textile manufacturing and its decline. Let's listen.
Back in 1984, I could clear $350, $400 a week. And if you got mad at one hosiery mill, you could go to another hosiery mill and get a job the next day.
You want to go load up?
You started hearing about, you know, people losing their homes and losing their farms. And when the mills all went away, that's when Mount Airy lost their backbone, I should say.
That's a clip of Debbie, a former mill employee. She's talking in the film Real Mayberry, and I'm talking with the filmmaker, Bill Hayes. The film screens this Saturday in Mount Airy and is available for rental online. And, of course, manufacturing decline was only part of the economy. You talked about it. Farming, of course, very important to the region.
Yeah. I mean, my family had poultries, dairy, and tobacco. And as that went away, you know, now we have livestock. But, yeah, and Mount Airy and that community and North Carolina are still trying to find their way with this in terms of we've got a lot of incredible, rich farmland in North Carolina, not just Mount Airy or Surrey County, that we're still trying to figure out what to do with.
How did that change? I mean, you understand how offshoring of jobs for cheaper labor and lower environmental standards hurt the economy of small towns in America. But what about farming? I mean, that's something you can offshore that. You can import vegetables, of course.
People are still trying to figure it out. There's a lot of what we're doing on our farm is livestock, raising beef. And they're one by one, people are starting these organic gardens. But, you know, if you look at this area, Durham Chapel Hill, and you go to the farmers markets and look at all these nice restaurants that we've got with farm to table, that's part of the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's hopefully, you know, that will keep spreading. But farmer by farmer starting to realize they can make a decent living at that.
Well, you talked to one of them, Miles Branch, who talked about the challenges of keeping it going, but he is one who has done just that.
Here in Mount Airy, which is in Surrey County, not a lot of dairies going on anymore. When I was a kid, there were probably 20 or 30 dairies in the county. I don't know how many, but several. And now we're one of three that's left. It has been hard, but I guess everything's supposed to be hard. I feel like you kind of have to change with the times, and we've expanded and gotten to where we could produce enough to make a living. Now, there's years that it's dang hard to hold on. There's years that you just hope to make it to the next, but we've been blessed and we've come through it, and we're doing pretty well now.
That's dairy farmer Miles Branch in the film Real Mayberry. I'm talking with Bill Hayes, who made the film. The film screens Saturday in Mount Airy. Farming, of course, can still be important. It's a rural area. But now you talked about downtown Mayberry not looking, or Mount Airy not looking so much like a town that lost 10,000 jobs. Tourism has something to do with that. How much?
A little bit. Yeah. But actually, I tell you what really has to do with it is Gene Reese and historic tax credits. Gene realized that these built many, but you know, it's an old stagecoach route that it had these spectacular buildings. My family had a hardware store on Main Street in the 1960s, so I grew up on that Main Street as a little kid. Those buildings are stunning, and yeah, they still are, and they still haven't figured out what to do with the upstairs of a lot of these buildings, so there's still potential there. But Gene, building by building, started buying these things for not a lot of money and restoring them, and then putting business after business in them. And some businesses work, some don't, but eventually something does work. But that historic tax credit is a big deal and is an important thing for the state.
Well, it is, because it jumpstarts businesses that then, as you say, if you can get a business to get going there, it's going to recirculate the money. So, I mean, even unlike the textile mills, which certainly generated jobs and income for people, shareholders got a lot of that dough, and it left the town.
Just think about this radio station that we're sitting in right now, and think about where it is and what this building was once upon a time.
American Tobacco.
I mean, the Goodmans, they had, take somebody like Jim Goodman or Gene Reese with great vision,
right,
and some perseverance. But, you know, what this building here has done, I went to Duke back in the 70s, and I can tell you, Durham in the 70s does not look like Durham today.
Right.
And this building, where we're, this complex that we're in, is a major part of that. It's similar on a smaller scale as what Gene did in downtown Mount Airy and what the potential is across, I think, North Carolina and America.
Well, and again, those businesses are probably generating revenue that stays in the town and it doesn't necessarily leave. Well, big businesses can create jobs, but a lot of that money goes to shareholders.
It's more important than that. It's psychologically, there is something that happens when you restore something.
Yeah.
There's pride and ownership and history, and it keeps mushrooming from there.
Well, we talked a lot about the Andy Griffith Show and the way in which that reflected that small town life in that period, and in many ways reflected small towns in America. You talked to Betty Lynn, who played Thelma Lou, who is Barney Fife's girlfriend.
How incredible is it that Barney Fife's girlfriend decides to come to Mount Airy for a Mayberry Days and decides to stay because she loves the town? I mean, unbelievable.
Incredible story. Let's listen to her.
And I didn't realize that Andy had been born here and grew up here. And I remember when he told us about Mount Pilot and everything, and he said, it's really Pilot Mountain. I said, you have mountains there?
Oh, that's nice. Little sugar on the jaw.
He had drawn so much from his hometown and put in that show. I mean, every time I turn around, it's something that reminds me of one of the shows or the people's names are brought in.
Betty Lynn, the actress who played Thelma Lou on The Andy Griffith Show, filmmaker Bill Hayes talked to her when he was creating The Real Mayberry that screens Saturday in Mount Airy. It's also available online. What's she doing there? I mean, what brought her back?
She didn't have a lot of family. She grew up in Kansas City. Her apartment had been broken into twice in Los Angeles. She had come to Mount Airy for Mayberry Days and thought it was a heck of a lot better to live in a safe place where people were kind and going to look after her, so she made it her home. But we heard those clips, and I got to point out, my team, it wasn't me, Kevin and Aaron and Robert particularly, did a brilliant job of finding these clips from the Andy Griffith Show that we bought from CBS to intersperse in the show, and they just every time I hear them, I just go, you know, they work so wonderfully.
They hold up well, really well. You know, the story of immigrants too, which was part of the changing face of North Carolina, it makes its way into your film as well.
I'm digging around the historic cemetery, and I see all these Italian names, and I'm going, what, huh? And then I learned, and it was a great thing to make this film because I really got to relearn. I got to learn a lot about my hometown I didn't know. But they all worked at the granite quarry back. Mount Airy had the largest open-faced granite quarry in the world. And back in the day when they didn't have the equipment to do this, they imported these Italian stone cutters. And it gives Mount, and I'm still fascinated with how many successful people and how successful that community is, because there's tons of people that have grown up in Mount Airy that have gone on to do amazing things.
We are talking about the real Mayberry today on The State of Things. My guest is Bill Hayes. He's the founder of Figure Eight Films and did a film about his hometown. Tell us about Gabriel and Alicia Torres.
There are actually three Hispanic families, all that make carports and all that make millions. So I thought, pardon the alliteration, a millionaire Mexican in Mayberry making, you know,
yeah.
I thought, but... And, but the way they do it, you know, and my niece's husband, who's a chiropractor there in town, said, you need to go meet this guy. He's just like your dad. And I was like, only he's Hispanic. I thought, well, that's pretty dangerous. So I go visit this guy, and, you know, he's got bulls out on his farm and a rodeo. They've got a rodeo. But they are just, you know, he started out as a tobacco farmer, worked in Spencer's. He and his wife both worked in that factory. Everything sort of goes back to that. And then, you know, they just started this business, and darn if
they make carports, right?
Yeah, and yeah, metal buildings, and they do it all over America, and they have their own private jet. And I thought, you know, that's, again, I was trying to look for things that people wouldn't expect, you know, in Mount Airy. Like, who would expect that these millionaire Mexicans would be there? Who would – you don't expect somebody like Gene to give, you know, to just pay me when you can.
Right.
You know, wouldn't expect Betty Lynn to show up there.
Alicia Torres is Gabriel Torres' wife, and she talks a little bit about making that business go.
Of course, we're based out of North Carolina, but we do business in several states and have a lot of people working.
How many employees do you have?
How many employees? More than 100. I'd say 120 maybe.
Alicia Torres, who with her husband Gabriel run a carport business, very successful out of Mount Airy, featured in the film The Real Mayberry, talking with Bill Hayes. Now, Bill, you didn't, which is not to say it's an idyllic town. There's crime, there's meth labs. I mean, it's a rough, it can also be a very difficult place to live.
You know, you're exactly right, and I still, I'm still sorting that one out in terms of, you know, I wanted again to mimic the Andy Griffith Show, so it never gets too dark in Mayberry. And Mount Airy is like every other town. There's meth trailers, and there's meth moonshine and mayhem and murder in Mayberry. But
you're all over the alliteration today.
I am all over it. But it's – thank you. But you know, the problem is storytelling, as you know, is you bring it out there, and then how much weight does it get? And because I want it to not be too long a documentary and too short. So – and I basically wanted to try to lead by positive examples and say, look – I want it to be an inspiration. The Andy Griffith Show was inspirational, and I felt like if I'm going to make a film, why not try to make it a bit inspirational? We got plenty of dark news every single day, and I felt like we needed something, and particularly this year and lately, I felt like, you know, the public could use something, a little dose of something else, because there's plenty of that out there, and that's what we hope to do with this website, is actually curate a lot of positive stories with people doing things right.
The Real Mayberry is a part of that effort. Bill Hayes is the founder of Figure Eight Films and the maker of The Real Mayberry, which screens Saturday at the historic Earl Theater at 3 o'clock. That's in Mount Airy. It's also available for rental. Bill, thanks so much for being on our
Frank,
show.
Frank, it's always a pleasure. Great show.
We can find out more information at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, comedian Josh Gondelman on Writing for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver and his own stand-up. Stay tuned.